This is CliffCentral.com.
We have Anthea here, and it's time for us to find out what's happening in the money markets. There's lots to discuss there, too. Who will win in the big battle between the president and Praveen? That's what everyone's talking about. It seems that nobody's interested in the details of the budget anymore. 1 week later, all we care about is who's going to win and whether the Hawks will investigate Praveen and whether this is a dirty tricks campaign by the president, who obviously feels like his power is slipping away from him, which it is. Is that right?
And in the meantime, we suffer.
Well, of course.
Have you seen what happened to the rand then?
What is it? 16? How much for the...
16.25 on Friday.
Nice. Thanks.
Can you believe that a week before that it was 15.07?
But does this moron president of ours not realize every time he opens his mouth or tries to make a political move against the Treasury, it costs us? Does he not realize this?
Obviously not. Otherwise... Or does he care? I don't know what the answer is. And quite frankly... Yep. Tom Moyani, he should be grateful to Praveen. So I know that Praveen didn't put up your personal income tax or the marginal rate. But the other thing that I noticed he didn't do was that he didn't move the bracket. So actually, if you're getting a salary increase, you could automatically fall into the higher bracket. So assume that interest... inflation is 6%. People are getting 6% increases. So all those people, because he didn't increase... The lower level or the end bracket of qualifying for the higher rate, people are going to automatically move into their rate, which is a little bit sneaky, very clever. I think Tom Moyani actually just does not appreciate it. That's the problem. And, you know, Praveen also kind of increasing capital gains tax and all those things. He's just doing Tom a favor. He's making Tom Moyani look good. And then they have this big dispute. It's crazy. I actually don't know what to say anymore, because higher exchange rate against the dollar will lead to inflation. And we all suffer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there. No, I don't know.
Hey, and by the way, it was good advice he was for me to get those dollars when I did.
Oh, now you're grateful.
Yeah, I'm happy now.
Well, at least you're man enough to admit it.
Sure. I'll give you credit where it's due. Absolutely. Just, how did Friday go, by the way, on the markets?
Just before we get to the market, while we're talking about inflation and Praveen Gordon, S&P came out on Friday and actually commented on the budget speech.
Mm-hmm.
The big concern, though, they said, was that it wasn't enough to create growth. So basically, they said for now, they're leaving our credit rating unchanged, but they're going to relook it again in June. And my feeling from them was that was all great, but actually you just haven't done enough to save yourselves.
Well, before we go on to the markets, the other big story of the weekend, which worries me a lot, is Barclays disinvesting.
Now, sure.
First of all, is this true? And second of all, will it cost in the area of 40,000 jobs? Because that's what I'm reading.
Okay. So firstly, Barclays have not confirmed or denied, but their results, it's either today or tomorrow. So for sure, there'll be an announcement. You know, they'll either confirm that they are or not. And will it cost jobs? I don't know, because it's not like they're going to suddenly close Absa down.
No.
It's just Barclays are saying we have a huge exposure to Africa and we don't want that anymore. Who takes the stake? Who buys the stake? It's like Anglo trying to sell Kumba. It's great. You want to sell it, but who's going to buy it? So, of course, I think lots of talk about the PIC potentially buying Barclays' stake in Absa, in which case things just carry on as they were.
Mm-hmm.
I think they will take away a lot of people. So, actually, when Barclays bought Absa, they already did retrench. They retrenched a whole lot of people. They did this whole thing where they were trying to make operations leaner. They brought in a whole lot of Brits as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Brits will just leave. There's that. So we'll see. I mean, nothing is obvious at this stage.
And Maria Ramos hasn't said anything.
Isn't that strange, huh?
Yeah, I do find that odd.
You would think, especially considering Trevor Manuel now is weighing in on the SARS debacle.
But he's not afraid to say what he thinks, and he's really
like
far more politically exposed than she is. The point is, though, with Maria Ramos, you don't want, if you're the boss of a company, even a big bank, you don't want speculation, especially dangerous speculation that could affect your share price.
Yeah, she has been very quiet the last couple of years. I don't know. She just seems to, I don't know, she just not out in the public where she should be. She yeah. should be leading from the front, and she's not, basically, unfortunately.
All right.
Markets.
So let's look at Friday markets. On the markets, yeah.
Solid day on Friday. So the Aussie was up 2.2%, which means year to date, we are now 23 basis points higher for the last 2 months. For the week, we were up 0.9%. So I guess the big kind of sectors, again, resources and financials, although resources very volatile of late. You know, the resource sector for the last year is down 39%, and year to date, so the last 2 months since the beginning of Jan, it's up 10%.
But don't be fooled, because if you're down that much in the long term, you have lost money.
Oh, yes. Oh,
so being in resources, because a lot of people are suddenly saying, oh, but if you'd bought gold, you know.
Well, so this is a big thing for me, because quite a few companies, resource companies, reported last week. And I am beginning to feel like, am I missing out on something? Because year to date, and this is just since the beginning of the year, so 2 months, Anglo American is up 53%. Sibanye Gold is up 128%.
Sure.
Anglo Gold is up 73%. So obviously the golds, because we're worried about global growth and volatility, the mm-hmm. gold is your safe haven go-to. But then even Amplats is up 84%, Impala Platinum 20%, and African Rainbow Minerals, since the beginning of the year, up 83%. So the question, the big question, is this the bottom of the cycle? And everybody's asking. So we had a couple of companies report last week. Anglo American started.
Mm-hmm.
They said they wanted to sell Kumba and they wanted to get in this over $4 billion. Question, of course, is who's going to buy it? Even so, though, Anglo American is now free cash flow positive, which is always a good thing. And then Billiton also. And this is the flip side of the story, because Billiton have now abandoned their progressive dividend policy and are moving out into something called minimum payout. So they're saying they want to realign shareholders and returns and company profits. They really are just trying to be conservative, I guess. They're trying to preserve cash wherever they can, strengthen their balance sheet. So their dividend is down 74%. And you know I don't like it when companies cut dividends.
Yeah.
It's a terrible sign. Same thing. Anglo Gold Ashanti, they also put out full year results last week. Production was down 9%. The gold price, this is an interesting one. The gold price they received was down 8%. And I can't remember if I ever explained to you Anglo Gold's big gold hedging issue.
Mm-mm.
No? So a couple of years ago, Anglo Gold were very smart, in inverted commas, and they used to figure out what it cost them to produce gold. So let's say they were producing gold at $300 an ounce. If gold then went to $500 an ounce, they would calculate how much they could pull out per annum, per year, and then sell forward this gold at the current rate of $500, thereby locking in a 200 an ounce
premium.
Yes, profit. Okay. But of course, so when gold fell back to 300, they were selling it for 500, and their peers were selling at 300. The problem, of course, comes when gold went to 700, and they were selling it for 500, and all their peers were then selling it for 700. So obviously, they're still playing around a little bit. So even though the gold price last year had gone up, they were selling it at 8% less than the previous year.
Huh.
I think mostly Anglo Gold has unwound their hedge book now, their gold hedge book, so they're okay.
Uh-huh.
But this is my point.
See, that's the story about hedging nobody ever tells you. They only ever tell you about the guys who make huge profits out of hedging.
Absolutely.
But they don't ever tell you about the people who lose.
Exactly.
It's like gamblers. They never talk about their debts.
Traders are the same. Mm. We have every quarter, we have the derivatives market, SAFEX, South African Futures Exchange, has this party. And the big joke is that all the traders are always telling you how much money they've made.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there going, so if you traded with so-and-so, so you, Barclays, traded with Standard Bank, how come Standard Bank didn't lose that amount of money?
Yeah, right.
Because they're underwriting each other's derivative trades. So
yeah.
It's a very
We don't believe you.
Exactly.
Who's reporting this week?
Oh, we've got lots. We've got JSE today, Bidvest. We've got, as I said, Who did I say?
Stella Capital Sun International Advertech.
No, they reported...
They released trading results.
That's right. Yeah. So Advitech put out a trading statement saying that headline earnings per share would be up between 17 and 27%.
Mm-hmm.
The share was still down 88 basis points on Friday. And I think, again, people are just expecting too much. Same story with Stella Capital. They also put out a trading statement. Really, Charles Pettit was saying that they are consolidating. They got a little dividend from Tor, not that great, but he's still sitting on this 800 million rand in cash. Some of it, well, he raised 1.1 last year. So some of it he spent on KD's asset management and buying a company called Telumat. But he still has 800 million rand to spend, and he's given no direction on it. So Stella Capital, under a lot of pressure at the moment,
yeah,
down 9.5% just last week.
I'm feeling angry that I bought some.
No, don't. Short-termism. This is a long-term trade.
I bought it 2.9.
2.9, wow. No, wouldn't it have been 230 when they did their rights issue, right?
291 is what I bought it at, and it's now at 190.
That's odd.
Not
so
good.
You should have averaged down, though, because I'm pretty sure you took up shares in the rights issue at 230.
I might have.
Yeah, that in price is not right.
Okay.
Sun International also reported last week, very disappointing. Headline earnings were down 19%.
Sorry, Anthea, breaking news. Leonardo DiCaprio won Best Actor.
Oh, well done.
There we go, Ben. Egg on your face.
Finally.
Yeah, shocker.
All right, now back to the finance. Okay. Back to stuff that actually affects you.
Gosh, very important, Leonardo.
Yeah, of course. Sure it is.
So Sun International, they released results. Pretty poor. South African operations underperformed. Grand West, all their casinos, not great. But they did okay in LATAM, which is Latin America. So Panama, Colombia, these Monticello businesses that they have in South America. So they did okay. The share was actually up 53 basis points. And isn't this the complete reversal of like the Advitech and the Stella Capitals? Because I think we were just expecting less from Sun International. So the share was up, even though headline earnings per share was down 19%.
Okay.
And then I think pretty much it, really. Oh, I've got some good news.
What's that?
The petrol price is going down on Wednesday.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness.
By 69 cents. Unfortunately, diesel is going up. But I think we had the flip of this last month, right? So diesel went down, petrol
stayed. It's all just balancing out, yeah.
We'd
have a lot more saving if they hadn't put the fuel levy up.
Yes.
Another clever move by Praveen.
Exactly. Very sneaky, hey? Yeah. You went, don't worry, you won't feel it because the petrol price has come down so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then just one last thing. You said Warren Buffett released his annual letter to shareholders of his company, Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, it's always such a highly anticipated event, Warren Buffett's annual letter to shareholders. A couple of things. So basically, he spent a lot of time defending himself. Two investments in particular. One was a company called 3G. And really, because it's not his style of investing. So 3G are known for being more like Jack Welch. And really, they come in, and they chop heads when they go into a company. They
almost like asset strippers.
It's more, not. No, they don't really sell off assets, but they cut kind of costs. They're very lean, you know. Okay. They have no problem cutting 1,000 jobs at the drop of a hat, that kind of stuff.
So people strippers. Okay.
That sounds a bit
for
a Monday morning. But yeah, pretty much. They're stripping out the people and the excess weight, really.
Okay. All right.
And so things like, you know, they bought Heinz, they merged it with Kraft Foods, cut, I don't know, like over 1,000 jobs. They did the same thing with Burger King and some donut business. I forget what the donut business is called. And then made it into Restaurant Brands International. So that was the one thing, a real concern about that. And then also they've invested, or Warren Buffett has invested in a company called Clayton, who do mortgage lending. And they've been criticized for being racist and not lending to blacks and Latinos. So, of course, Warren Buffett on the wrong side. the company's doing well, it's doing okay, but you don't want that kind of sentiment around your business, and particularly not Warren Buffett. And you know, he's 85 years old now. Mm. His two ICs, Charlie Munger, who's 92 years old.
My God. His two ICs older than him.
Yeah.
Wow.
And his secretary's 103. Gladys has been going guns on it.
Ah, all right.
And so generally they're still doing very well. I mean, record full year profit. They made $24 billion last year. That's up 21%. But they haven't announced a successor, and everyone's waiting to see. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the share price today.
Yeah. Anthea, Supernova wants to know, and I think we've already dealt with this once before, but it's worth addressing. How is it that the JSE also reports and they are not a company? Well, they are. Who is the CEO and all the rest? And does that mean everyone invests in them? You could buy the JSE as a share.
So the JSE is listed as a share on the JSE, on themselves. The stock code is JSE. Funny that. Nicky Newton-King, I think, is the CEO. And they are a company. So they're a registered company like every other company. So you can buy shares. And yes, every time you trade on the JSE, you are helping this company. So any company that would sell widgets, for example, the JSE sells trading platforms and they offer all sorts of great things. They do a lot of product, you know, sort of tracker products and ETFs, exchange traded funds. So yeah, you can definitely invest in the JSE Supernova. In fact, I quite like the JSE, so I'll be going to the results later.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Anthea.
Very good. My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
This is CliffCentral.com.